Cast thy bread upon the waters, for thou shalt find it after many days. Give a portion to seven, and also to eight, for thou knowest not what evil shall be upon the earth. If the clouds be full of rain, they empty themselves upon the earth, and if the tree falls toward the south or toward the north, in the place where the tree falleth, there it shall be. He that observeth the wind shall not sow, but he that regardeth the clouds shall not reap. As thou knowest not what is the way of the Spirit, nor how the bones do grow in the womb of her that is with child, even so thou knowest not the works of God who maketh all. In the morning sow thy seed, in the evening withhold not thine hand, for thou knowest not whether shall prosper either this or that, or whether they both shall be alike good. Truly the light is sweet, and a pleasant thing it is for the eyes to behold the sun. But if a man live many years and rejoice in them all, yet let him remember the days of darkness, for they shall be many. All that cometh to is vanity. Rejoice, O young man, in thy youth, and let thy heart cheer thee in the days of thy youth, and walk in the ways of thine heart, and in the sight of thine eyes. But know that for all these things God will bring thee into judgment. Therefore remove sorrow from thy heart, and put away evil from thy flesh, for childhood and youth are vanity. Shall we pray? Loving Father, we thank you for your word this afternoon. We pray that you will open it to our hearts and minds, and pray your Holy Spirit to minister it to us and teach us, in Jesus' name, amen. Well, we find here that Solomon talks a lot about those things that have to do with vanities upon the earth, as we know that there is a time and a season for all things under the heaven. And as we come down near to the end of the book of Ecclesiastes, we know chapter 12 kind of sums everything up, and this particular chapter is kind of like the foreword into chapter 12. And so it deals with the conclusion of some things as it relates to man, and shows that the man living under the sun, that is upon the earth, there is a certain manner of life in which he lives that will be more advantageous than at other times. And so he also speaks in a very proverbial way. As we know that he wrote the book of Proverbs as well, we find some of these words couched in kind of a proverb-type phrase. And so he begins by saying, "Cast thy bread upon the waters, for thou shalt find it after many days." Of course, when we think of bread, we naturally think of a loaf of bread we have on our table, just a loaf of wheat bread. But actually, the idea of bread here has to probably have to do more with grain, as grain was the substance which bread was made from, rather than something you go to the grocery store and buy. We find that the merchandise of life, the merchandising of life, often was involved in those things you could buy and sell. And so what does he begin to say? He says, "Cast thy bread upon the waters, for thou shalt find it after many days." And, of course, we've often used this in the sense of charity. If you do good unto others in your life, then you can expect that it will return to you. And so the sense of liberality in things, being liberal with what you have, is an advantage in life. For instance, if you take somebody who's very miserly and very stingy about the way that they live and the resources that they have, they probably don't have a very many friends. And they probably don't have very many people that would come to their aid. But you take someone who is generous in what they have, they help people, they give to people, they are people who want to be outgoing, and in the sense of helping others, they don't hold back. Now, we find that that is the kind of a person that when they do good for others, good also returns to them. And so there is a sense of that in life for us too. That we realize that as we cast our bread upon the waters, we find that it comes back to us in time. And bread is used symbolically here in the sense of grain from which, of course, bread is made from. And because we do know that there's also part of this is the agricultural society to which that part of the world was involved. When Solomon was living, agriculture is a big part of the commodities of the day. Even today, agriculture is important, of course. And we find that the United States is a very generous country with what we have as far as food is concerned. We do feed a lot of people here in the United States. And even today, you may notice that there's an awful lot of effort given to helping to feed people, even locally and in communities and so forth. And as we think about that sort of thing, it is always good to help other people. Verse 2, give a portion to 7 or to 8, for thou knowest not what evil shall be upon the earth. So he talks about 7. Well, we know 7 is an important number in the Bible. And in the sense of numerology in the Bible, probably 7 is one of those highest numbers for God to bless us. And you can go through the Bible and see a lot that has to do with numbers. But he talks about 7 here, and it suggests, a 7 suggests to us that the generosity of this person is unrestrained. In fact, he even mentions 8. He says, give a portion to 7, and also to 8, for thou knowest not what evil shall be upon the earth. Well, we really don't know what a day may bring forth, do we? Today may be prosperous, tomorrow there may be want. For some reason, the stock market can be up today, and tomorrow it can all of a sudden take a dive. We find that sometimes even work is like that, especially among some professions. Now, of course, Bob used to be involved in the fishing industry, right, Bob?
Right.
Now, I suppose you experienced some down days in fishing, didn't you? Yeah, if there happened to be a lot of wind and waves out there, you probably didn't venture out too much far, did you? But if it was a nice calm sea, and the weather was favorable, you could probably go out and maybe get a good catch. Well, life is like that too, that we realize that we have to take advantage of those things as God gives it to us to take advantage of them. And Solomon seems to be indicating that here. Also, you notice he continues with the same theme of agriculture. Look at verse 3. If the clouds be full of rain, they empty themselves upon the earth. And if the tree falls toward the south or toward the north, in the place where the tree falleth, there it shall be. Now, there's a couple of different things that we're kind of given to in the imagery. One is planting. Obviously, the person who plants has to be pretty much in tune with the weather. In fact, the next verse also speaks of this. He that observeth the wind shall not sow, and he that regardeth the clouds shall not reap. Well, we find that the farmer, if he looked at the clouds all the time, well, he might be apprehensive about going out and planting. I remember years ago when I was just going to high school, and I was working on a local farm with a farmer. He was a dairy farmer, and he had to cut his hay, and he had to get his hay in, and he had to get various crops in and take care of his cattle and everything. Of course, every day he got up and went to work doing the things that a farmer has to do. He couldn't just sit in his living room and smoke his pipe, so to speak. And because the work just wouldn't get done. In other words, the weather, the work didn't stop for the weather. He had to work in all sorts of weather. And it is true for us too. We have to work in all sorts of conditions in life. We just can't stop working just because there happens to be a cloud outside the window in the morning. You know, sometimes we get up in the morning, we turn on the television, and we'll watch the news the first thing in the morning. Well, what's it doing today? Oh, it's going to be a little windy, it's going to be a little rainy, oh, it's going to be partly sunny, and if you went by what the weatherman said, well, you might just stay inside and not bother to go out. But because you know you have things to do, you get your hat and your coat on, you go to work, or you go outside and do what you can do. In other words, you have to be as industrious as you can, because otherwise you just won't get anything done. And so we find that it is important then to give yourself to the industry of life. And so verse 3 carries that thought of the previous one, especially with regard to those things that can inevitably happen. And part of the calamities of life that can happen, just as the rain clouds sometimes empty themselves upon the earth and trouble the farmer, we find that he gives another illustration here. He talks about the tree that falls. The tree that falls. Look at verse 3 again. He says, if the tree fall toward the south or toward the north, in the place where the tree falleth, there it shall be. The sense of the tree falling, well, if it falls, perhaps you've seen trees that fall down, and you say, well, one goes this way, and one goes, well, you can't tell which way the tree is going to fall. If a good wind blow comes along, it's going to fall whatever which way the wind blows it. And we've got a tree out in front of our house right now, which is kind of leaning about like that, right over onto another tree. And it's uprooted from the ground, and it just fell over there in a windstorm. Well, there's nothing we can do about it, because, you know, you'd have to have a tree company come and to cut it down, because it's just, you can't do it by yourself. Even if you had a power saw and go out there and start chopping on that tree, cutting on that tree, well, you wouldn't know which way it was going to go. And probably it would go right where you wouldn't want it to go, like right on the power lines or something. So what do? Leave it alone. Eventually, if the power company thinks it's going to be a problem, they'll come and take it down. Otherwise, it will continue to be there. Well, sometimes things in life happen like that. You don't know what's going to happen, this or that. But whichever way it goes is the way it goes. And you have to kind of be prepared for it in life. And so it is, we must trust in the Lord. This little poem was put together by John Ray, and this is how it goes. As a tree falls, so must it lie. As a man lives, so must he die. As a man dies, so must he be. All through the years of eternity. And it kind of causes one to stop and think, well, even as we live, so will our outcome be in life. If we live to the Lord, then the Lord will bless us with that which we have lived, by faith and through grace, by the grace of God, and God will bless us. But if a man has lived to himself, if a person has lived to the world, if they've lived to their own lustful desires, then they have fallen in that direction, and unless God changes that direction, they never shall be changed. They will live out their lives and go into eternity even as they have lived. And so it causes us to stop and think about how we should live in this life. And look at verse 4. He that observeth the wind shall not sow, and he that regardeth the cloud shall not reap. As I said, this shows how the farmer, if he just looked at the wind and the rain, and did not get up and go do the work that he needs to do, well, he might find himself without any crops and without any harvest. In verse 5, as thou knowest not what is the way of the Spirit, nor how the bones do grow in the womb of her that is with child, even so thou knowest not the works of God who maketh all things. Well, man thinks he can figure God out, but is it possible to figure the things out in life? Well, no, it isn't all that easy. we don't know what's going to happen. And since we don't know everything, we have to continue. We have to continue with our life as it is. And we don't always understand which way the things are going to happen, but God does. And so who are we trusting in? Are we going to trust in God, or are we going to trust in ourselves? And so Solomon, he was somewhat fatalistic in some of the things he had to say here. But yet we know the difference between fatalism and trusting in God. And it is for us to trust in God. Because we don't know all the things that God is going to do. And even though man likes to think he has everything figured out, the miracle of birth in the mother's womb is still one which is a marvel beyond man's full cognition. Even though he thinks he has it figured out, life is not that simplistic. So it is, God is the true author of life. 11:6, verse 6, in the morning sow thy seed, and in the evening withhold not thine hand, for thou knowest not whether shall prosper either this or that, or whether they both shall be alike good. Well, he has said much about industry already, and since we don't know what is going to be most productive in life, then what should we do? Well, we must continue to labor. We must get up and go to work and do the work we need to do. We come home. What do? We do the work we need to do about the house. If one was a merchant, then one would have to be given to a great diversity within merchandising. Look at many of the great corporations today. They don't stick just to one thing. A Walmart is very diverse in its products that it carries. But then so is a Sam's Club, and so is Kohl's, department stores, and all of the big industries. In fact, if you probably could get behind the scenes and see what these big corporations had for business interests, you probably would find they're diverse all over the world. That it isn't just one thing that they're involved in. They probably have their hands in a lot of different enterprises. And so what is most productive? In other words, to give yourself to work and to labor in those areas that you can do, and to be diligent in those things, because that, then it is more productive and you're apt to care for yourself better. In verse 7 and 8, he goes on to say, truly, the light is sweet and a pleasant thing. It is for the eyes to behold the sun. But if a man live many years and rejoice in them all, yet let him remember the days of darkness, for they shall be many. All that cometh is vanity. So Solomon used a great deal of contrasts in the Bible. And this contrast is between light and darkness. Now we know that light is better than darkness when it comes to those things that we are blessed by. Truly the light of God's word is a blessing unto us. And Jesus is the light of the world. Jesus isn't called the darkness of the world. And the word of God isn't called a darkness to us. And so there are things in life that we can profit by. And when we are yet able to work and to do the things that are most blessing to us from God, God blesses us with the light of his grace. And so this metaphor that he's using, truly the light is sweet and a pleasant thing, it is for the eyes to behold the sun. And we know what it means to get up and to work about and have plenty of light. I suppose if we were living 150 years ago and we didn't have electric lights, and we were only going by candle and kerosene lights in the home, or in this particular age that we're talking about in Solomon's day, they used oil lamps, the Betty lamp, I think it was called. It was nothing more than a small lamp or a bowl type that was filled with olive oil and a wick sticking out the side of it. Or they probably had candles. Now that's not much light, is it? That's not much light to go by at night. What's that now?
We've come a long way.
We've come a long way. We have. We have. And the people of this particular day, if they had light, sunlight, they could do a lot of work, but if darkness, then they could not do much work. And so what is better, the sweet sunlight of life or the darkness and the evil days which are coming? And of course, in the next chapter, he does talk about the evil days that come upon us in old age. And one is like light to us. Youthfulness is like light. But old age is like darkness, because there is a lot of limitations to old age. And so we contrast that between these two chapters also. So we find here that he talks about man's existence in this particular way. Also in verse 9, "Rejoice, O young man, in thy youth, and let thy heart cheer thee. In the days of thy youth, and walk in the ways of thine heart, and in the sight of thine eyes. But know that for all these things God will bring thee into judgment." So he gets to that subject of youth here in verse 9 and 10. And so we realize that when one is young, there are things that we just don't know until we get to be older. One says you can't put old heads on young shoulders. I think Spurgeon used that term before too. You can't put old heads on young shoulders, meaning that the experience that comes with age is vital to life, and the young person just doesn't have the experience sometimes. So what does the young person do? Many times the young person gives themselves to vanities in life, pursuing those things that they think are pleasurable and entertaining, and in many cases are hurtful to themselves and to others, but they pursue those things. Or they might not be given to much industry. That is, they don't work very hard. They don't pursue certain ambitions that are going to get themselves ahead. They kind of are lazy sometimes. And so all those kinds of things are not that helpful to a young person. And he says, remember that God will bring thee into judgment. Now, is it talking about eternal judgment, or is it just simply saying, kind of like the scriptural idea, is that whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap, kind of thing? Well, if we sow to the flesh, of the flesh we reap corruption. If we sow to the Spirit, of the Spirit we reap life eternal. And so it is good for us to keep God's perspective in view. It is good for us to do that. And then when we come to verse 10, he closes this chapter. He says, "Therefore," and of course the word "therefore" looks back to what we've already said, "therefore remove sorrow from thine heart and put away evil from thy flesh, for childhood and youth are vanity." And so he brings this final conclusion to this. It says, while you have your youth, maximize those things of youth, but remember you're going to be judged for those things if you pursue them in a bad way. And we also find that the picture of life is pretty much summed up in what he has to say from here on out. In fact, there is kind of a description of old age in chapter 12, and it begins, "Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them." And so what happens in life is that we begin to wind down. That is, our youthful days are gone. Our times of industry have fleeted away from us. We can no longer work as hard as we once did. We can no longer do the things we once did. And we may look back on those days and we may say, well, I wish I had done things a little bit differently. And there is a sense of warning to all of that that he gives, because he also says that there is vanity in life. And if one pursues the vanity, then one leaves himself open to these various conclusions that are drawn by the Word of God. So that's where we'll leave it for this afternoon. And next week we'll come back and look at chapter 12, which is the conclusion of the matter in the book of Ecclesiastes. Shall we pray? Loving Father, we thank you that you are good to us and that you show us in your word how we are to live. And those kinds of things that we can do to benefit ourselves and to glorify you, and those kinds of things wherein we should take warning and not pursue those. And Lord, pray you help us to gain that kind of wisdom and understanding that we can apply to our life in every age. And we thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.